of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mine, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head. See if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet in the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I figured this week I'd sit down, share a little what I've been learning through the books that I've been consuming. And by books, I mean a whole total of two, and I'm not even finished with the second one. Almost. Home stretch. The first book that I read was Guns, Germs, and Steel. Rather fascinating read. I wouldn't call it riveting, but fascinating to sit there and understand, to get the breakdown of why certain cultures have exceeded in the grand scheme of humanity's history, getting further along than other places, how the terrain, where they're at within the globe, where they fall on the medians, latitudes and longitudes and like, to help influence, as well as all of their neighbors being able to cross trade and interconnect, pass on ideas and information, kind of how the internet works. We all had some small, basic, simple idea. Go on YouTube, share the conversation, and bam, everybody knows how to patch a hole in a wall. But human history is a little bit more fraught, a little bit more difficult than just typing in a web browser. People had to travel from place to place on horseback for the longest time. Again, merely only 100 years ago, automobiles were just coming around. And there were laws in place that said if a horse was scared by your automobile, you had to disassemble it until the horse was A-OK. Can you disassemble your car today to make sure horses are okay? But horses have become an entertainment product. They don't do the same job that they used to do way back in the day. And such is how life and technology works for us. And again, we've been skyrocketing since the 20s, more or less. Then we hit the 40s, got a nice bump in technology. Baby boomers came home the silent generation came home, created the baby boomers, and off to the races we were with the Cold War. And this is kind of where it kicks into the next book that I've been reading, consuming, I should say, as it's audio. The End is Just the Beginning. And this one is not as uplifting. I wouldn't say Guns, Germs, and Steel is uplifting, but it's definitely not as downtrodden as this other book. But it's a description, an understanding, a broad view understanding of humanity in general and some overall topics, the melding of topics to understand things. And one of the biggest things that I've been having trouble to understand throughout life, and especially these past couple of years, because you hear that certain populations, certain countries, areas, are aging faster than other populations. And that seems kind of weird, because as far as I understand, time is rather linear. And unless you got some serious disease, you don't necessarily age faster. But it's a statistical game. It's now it's all kind of mathed out. And in a nutshell, the aging demographics all depend on the general age of everybody. And then if you have more older people than younger people, all of those people are going to vacate this mortal plane of existence a little bit sooner than the younger generations. And if you have a larger population than a younger population, then you have an older population. But if everybody is all 30%, 30%, and 30% within their lifestyles, young teens and then teens to through middle age and then retirement age, to keep it all simple, then you have just kind of a balanced society, a balanced population. But where all this kind of ties together again is the industrial revolutions that have happened. And again, these books do kind of go hand in hand, should read Guns, Germs, and Steel first if you're going to read the second one. Both are good books. But as a starting point, we look at the Industrial Revolution, simple nutshell, simple conversation-like. Back in the day, we were using windmills to grind everything up. We didn't know how to build a windmill properly, but through the internet of back in the day, horse and buggy style, people were able to improve on the windmill design, and they were able to grind flour just a little bit better. And so the people that came along a little bit later on how to grind flour didn't have to go through the design flaws of the earlier windmills. As people discovered coal and how to mine it, sure, we lost quite a few people in the early days of making sure we knew how to support mine shafts. And then slowly we get better and better, able to communicate more and more and make sure things are safer and safer. And so more and more people are able to use coal. And then we bring along electricity, and more people are able to use electricity. And then we find out coal is bad for the air. So we start figuring out other things like water wheels and nuclear and natural gas. And then we come along with solar and wind, all in a means to provide us with that electricity and move us along. And so as we figure out these things, some people, again, get the hard work of figuring out how not to build things, how to build them better and better and cheaper. Bulk purchases make things just a little bit cheaper. And more people are able to access it. Keep it general, keep it broad paintbrush style. Because I don't have my facts in front of me. I don't have a paper book to reference. It's all audio. It's all up in the noggin. But we'll say the Americas and Europe figured out this nuclear and better cleaning coal stuff. Nuclear stuff. They've got the start on it. And then China and India come around. They're like, well, we like all this technology that the United States is using. We'd like to start using it. They don't have the resources, the ability to start building nuclear power plants all willy-nilly-like. So they got to start from the bottom at coal. It's simple and easy enough. Gets the job done. And so they can create more and more power to create bigger and better things. And through this process, they actually get to build twice as many coal plants as it did for the same general cost as it took the United States and Europe to build their plants. But they're coming along. They're speeding along. And one of the little fun facts that I've learned, again, through all of this demographic and industrialization kind of stuff, is how it impacts all the people around it when the technology is introduced. There's a boom when the technology is introduced because everybody gets a job, everybody gets to work. But it depends on where that age demographic is. If the technology shows up when everybody's 15 years old or younger, they can't necessarily work the same. They're not as skilled in what they're able to do. So it kind of takes longer, but they become one with it. It becomes a part of them, and they're able to grow through it and improve. If the technology shows up when the population is in their working years, 16 through 45 to 55, the skilled labor group is already there, and you're off to the races. The construction actually begins rather quickly. And through that, there becomes a wealth within the population, shifting the population from fields of farming into the inner cities, where kids become a little bit less required, whereas out on the farm, there's always a chore to be done. And in the city, there's few less chores. Don't necessarily have to go out and milk the cow and collect the chicken eggs. Still got to sweep off the front porch though, right? And so there's a decline in the population, but for better or for worse, again, we don't need 8 million kids running around doing nothing. But if the technology shows up when the population is getting closer to retirement age, they're not able to latch on as well. You get more people, you run in that 60 or 40% number. Right as people are hitting the 55, 60-year-old age, where they should be retiring in a general sense. Who knows what retirement is all around the world? I'm sure there's smarter people out there than me who know about that. But as the population ages, they're not able to work the same kind of jobs. They can't pour concrete. They can't climb skyscrapers, jumping from rung to rung to weld as they fly along with their safety harness on. Zap, 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 zap. All of the rivets taken care of. And so there becomes a shift in how things kind of play out. It also depends on how much money has been saved, whether or not it's been influenced or positively influenced for saving. Or if we just kind of waste our money willy-nilly, spend it on frivolous things. But that's what the middle-aged generation is supposed to do. They're supposed to do the work to support the upcoming infrastructure, the aging population. They're supposed to bring in new generations. And so when we look at populations that are aging faster or aging not as fast, kind of all plays into where they were when the technology showed up, when they were able to improve on all little aspects within life. It also shifts, again, those investments. Another little fun tip that I heard within this greater scheme of things is the middle-aged population, as they work and as they do their investments, they gain a little bit more money. I remember being a younger child and having no money. I'd get paid my allowance and spend it all on bubblegum and trading cards and no more money. But as you get older, you get more and more skills, you get paid, you become worth more and more, and so you're able to set aside at least a couple extra bucks here and there. And if you're really good, you get to set aside a lot more dollars. And then once you hit that retirement age, you have all of that excess money. But at least here in the United States, retirements, 401ks, and pensions are all based within trading schemes on the stock market, which are investments, money deposits, and returns for larger businesses to be able to make bigger and better things, cheaper and faster. We have the technology. And so the older population funds the middle population, and the middle population raises the younger population. But again, if technologies show up at different points in time, they have different influences across the grand spectrum of each society. And so it becomes an issue when those older populations, again, 40s to 50s, right before retirement, when the technology comes along, they do their work. They've got the skills. They've got the reliability. They didn't have money or the ability to have kids earlier. And then by the time investment comes along, it's too late to have kids. They haven't added to the new gene pool. And if it comes too soon, kind of get a late start. But at the same time, that offers the same chance for the middle generation, the up-and-coming generation, to give a kickstart to that lower generation. But if there's no need to have children, define need, but apartment living versus farm living, keep it very, very simple. The need is definitely lower. And so that doesn't bolster, support the middle generation for when they're going to be older. That's it. That's kind of, again, all of it within a nutshell, where I'm learning, what I'm learning. It's a little bit more involved. Done my best to keep it on the simple side so that way we can have those conversations. We can at least get the conversation started, get those gears turning, maybe send you down a little pathway to at least start looking into it. Or maybe it's boring, you don't care. It's all jibba jabba. But I've got a handful of show notes in today's show notes. I guess that's where I should keep them. And I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. I've got a website, billybones.com. Remember, that is spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. There, again, you can find show notes. Got a couple in here today. I'll make sure to link the books in case you're interested in those. And then there's a link, there's a button on there that says Value for Value. I release this podcast for free with no advertisers, no sponsors, no one to tell me what I can or cannot talk about, in hopes that you find value And if you did find value, the first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, finds a rabbit hole, finds a thing to get the gears turning with. But if you felt it was worth monetary value, be that Federal Reserve Freedom Units or Satoshis, we've got Satoshis donated this week from Abel Kirby of the Rare Encounter podcast, rareencounter.net. Sent in 8,359 Satoshis. Thank you, sir. Teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin. But if you feel this show is worth a beer, you know, maybe a little snacky cake, maybe a dinner, go to billybones.com. You scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, you chip in, you donate, you support the show in whatever number you feel is appropriate. And if you need something that's more material in value, you can go to tabletopwoodworks.com and see what I have there. But I'd like to thank you again for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.